Peter Gagg, who drives it through. Oh, that's a magnificent goal, a sensational goal by the Hullamore captain, Mitchell van der Gagg.
We hit the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate, we never won anything.
Men's in trouble, there's the kick. The super sub has done it again.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lukas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable. And that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. To good deflection!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. I'm off the train, so I'm back for this week. I'm joined by Buster and Jay as always. How are we, guys?
I know, bud.
Very good, thank you.
We're recording in Jay's last hour of his 20s, so happy birthday when it comes, mate, but you must be feeling rather old tonight.
Aye, that's it. Especially as I'm just in after fives and the joints aren't what they used to be.
Well, there's not a great deal to talk about, to be fair, given that it was an international break. There was not even a Scotland game this weekend, so we've got Ross County on Saturday, and that'll be the main focus of tonight's podcast anyway. Jay, a disappointing result against Inverness going into the break. Hopefully we can see a kind of bounce back when we travel north on Saturday.
Yeah, that's it. I think you want to be seeing some sort of progress, at least. You know, I know McGee said at the start that he needed 15 games, but, you know, he's had, three or four now, so he's got time. You know, he's had time to get to know the players. He should have a better idea of what he wants to do. Again, you know, Celtic game, you can't really judge. The Aberdeen game I wasn't at, but I thought both the Kilmarnock game, even though we won it, the Kilmarnock game and the Inverness game, I just thought it was very low-key, pretty poor. There's some individuals in the team who I don't think should be there. So you're looking for a positive reaction, both in terms of the performance on the park, but also, you know, in terms of the decision making. You know, McGee has never struck me as somebody like Barraclough. Barraclough looks as though he may, you know, always kind of gave that impression that he was quite nice, and so he'd maybe stick with his favourites and that kind of thing. I think McGee's got that a bit more of a ruthless streak, so I've seen no reason to see some changes ahead of Saturday, and I think we need them, because, you know, it was just pretty poor stuff last week against Inverness. And if you're going to want to go up to a place like Dingwall against a half-decent Ross County side, I know they're not doing particularly, you know, as well this season as they did. Well, they didn't do particularly well last season, but, you know, they hit form at the right time last season. I know they're you know, not doing too well this season, but it's a game that we could go up and win. It's a game that we've got the players to go up and win, but we need to show far more than we have in the last 2 weeks. And if we don't, then, you know, as time goes on, I know McGee's talking about this 15 games, but as time goes on, you know, you do get closer and closer to really being stuck in amongst it in terms of the relegation battle. So hopefully there are changes. Hopefully we get a half-decent performance and hopefully we come away with a result.
Buster, this is the time of the season where the men are separated from the boys, so to speak, with difficult trips and rainy, cold afternoons up to Dingwall. You'll not get any further for us anyway. It'll be a tough tie, especially given that they lost 4-1 to Celtic in their last outing as well. They'll have a point to prove, and they'll be determined to bounce back as well.
They certainly will. It's kind of a strange one. I'm a bit perplexed as to, you know, how I think we will turn up. But like Jay says, you know, there's maybe some changes needed. The last two performances
haven't been great, although we got a win against Kilmarnock. It's, I literally don't really know. This sort of 2 week gap came at a terrible time, I think, to be honest with you. I don't usually buy into that sort of, you know, chat that the international breaks come at the wrong times and things like that. But I think on this occasion it really did for us. You know, saying that we'll probably win 5-0 and then, you know, it came at a great time for us or something like that. But it's a really strange one. I've not really got any idea of what to expect, to be honest with you, when we go up here.
The thing for me against Inverness was how flat you would have thought that the positive reaction from getting the 3 points at Rugby Park would have had a real lift of spirits around the place, but the game was flat. I know decisions went against us early doors, and that maybe perhaps hampered the performance going forward. But for me, I really hope to see more energy and a real desire to win, and that's still not been there. It wasn't there under Barraclough. For me, it's not been there under McGee so far. I just want to get both your takes on the whole 15-game chat anyway. That seems a hell of a long time for a manager that was meant to be coming in and steadying the ship. 15 games down the line, we could really be embroiled in a relegation battle if things don't go right early doors.
I think I never actually read or heard that being said. I've heard it obviously quoted by yourselves and a few other people, but I think it was just one of those things where it's not that he's trying to buy himself time, he's just, you know, trying to lower expectations, you know, like as in he's not going to come in and win every game under the sun. But as you say, 15 games is a bit of a stretch, but I don't think it was, from what I read, you know, people talking about it, I can't imagine it was meant to be taken literally. But then again, as I say, I never read the original quotes or heard the original chat, so. But it's just one of the ones I can't imagine it was literally meant as, don't judge me until we're 15 games in, or don't expect anything until we're 15 games in.
Well, I was just going to jump in and say I think his exact quote, I just found it there while we were talking. I mean, it was sort of a big kind of spiel about, you know, he doesn't know who's the best 11 are, etc. And he says, I think I have to see them in 10 or 15 competitive games. I don't think you can make a judgment in one game at all. So, you know, you can kind of read into that, I suppose, what you want.
I just don't think the expectation levels were that high initially anyway. I think it's a
silly thing to say anyway. I think that, you know, there's no real need to put any sort of timescale on it whatsoever. You know, we've put up with Barraclough. I don't think anybody, you know, no matter how much you appreciated what McGee did the last time, I don't think anybody was expecting him to come in and, you know, wave a magic wand and everyone was going to be great. I think saying anything along those lines, I think putting a timescale on anything like that is a stupid thing to do, because if you go too short and you put, you know, you give yourself, you say, oh, it's going to take me 3 or 4 competitive games. If after those 3 or 4 games there's no improvements, then people get on your back. If you pick something like 15 games, which does, you know, it's almost half a season, then, you know, it almost sounds as though you're getting excuses in early and you're kind of saying, oh, well, you know, bear with me because, you know, it's going to take me ages. So I don't really like the idea of that kind of thing anyway. I mean, again, it could be a thoughtless, you know, throwaway comment, but I do think it is, you know, it's an ill-advised comment, because, you know, it's something that has been mentioned not just by ourselves in the podcast but by a lot of other folk and pubs and things like that, talking about this 15 games thing that McGee said. So I think it's a silly thing to say, especially for a manager who has been in the public eye for a long time now. He deals with the media on a regular basis. I just think it's a stupid thing to do, because, you know, for me, I think suggesting that it's going to take you half a season to get to know the players that you've got is almost as though you're kind of getting excuses in early, particularly when a good few of the senior players are players that you've worked with before.
Do you think that it also kind of... I know, I don't want to go out and say that he's clearly making his excuses early, but for me, a lot of that kind of rings true, because he's already come in and said that he was going to watch previous games and DVD. He's been doing double training sessions. So he should have a better gauge of the players. And given that he's a manager with a wealth of experience as well, I thought he would be able to get a better indicator of whether a player was up to it or not in a shorter time frame than that. As I said, it could be a throwaway comment, but I just think he's put unnecessary pressure on himself, and also he's kind of contradicted himself from his earlier press conferences where he indicated that he was going to be able to get clued up pretty quickly.
I think it's one of those ones where it's if you ask someone else, there'll be someone else who'll have read his comments and think it's just, you know, merely managing expectations, and then the others who will take it as excuses. It is, you know, it's purely down to opinion. I think it's possibly a bit of both. I think that it is a case of managing expectations because he knows that it will take quite a long time to maybe get this bunch of players working well. I don't think we're particularly bad. I think we've got players there who can do a job. It may take him 15 games just because Barraclough decided to sign so many players that, you know, McGee needs that amount of games to get through them all. But it's just a weird, yeah, it's just, for me, it's a bit of a weird comment. I think it's ill-advised because, you know, it does, you do leave yourself open to criticism that perhaps you are making excuses if indeed you pick, you know, quite a long period of time. You know, there's no need to put a time, you know, a gauge on it. We'll judge McGee based on what he does, you know, as weeks go by and as the season progresses. There's no reason, you know, there's no big countdown, so there was no reason for him to really say that. But again, you know, a throwaway comment, perhaps, who knows?
Yeah, it must be added that we possibly wouldn't be given this the time of day if it wasn't for the fact that there's been bog all happening this week, and maybe it is just creating a talking point for the sake of it, but I was quite surprised to read the quote, I must say.
Just to say as well, I'm completely in the point of the side that it's just a throwaway comment, basically based on none. I mean, people, as you say, people, it's all about opinion and people pick up different things for it, but the way questions are asked to managers and the way things are put towards managers these days, that, even players as well, you know, when they come under scrutiny for the media, it's just, it's just something to fill pages. You know, we probably, in my opinion, it means absolutely nothing. It's, if it takes him 10 games, 15 games to work out, you know, that his best right back is whoever, his, you know, best centre midfield and pairing is whoever, that there probably would be something suspect about that. But again, I think it's just something where it's a throwaway comment. And he's left himself a bit of space, as, you know, as Jay says, he's maybe managing expectations a wee tiny bit. But, you know, as you said as well, Sparrow, it's probably just because there's nothing else to talk about that's been mentioned in it.
I suppose the one positive thing is that he did only take one game to realise that Louis Lang wasn't his best centre midfielder. He got that one out the road early on.
Well, unfortunately, it's still, you know, we're four games on, he's still not realised that McManus is terrible.
We'll not go through and kind of castrise everyone that we don't like. That's not a good thing to do.
Is McManus suspended this weekend?
McManus will be suspended for Saturday, yeah.
I wasn't sure if it kicked in immediately, and so I take it we'll probably be seeing Louis Lang and Kieran Kennedy there, so it'll be interesting to see that as well then.
Yeah, the thing is, both centre-halves are regarded as quite strong and quite rigid, Lang Kennedy, which possibly suits going up to Dingwall and against a reasonably physical Ross County side. So, whereas I would maybe throw the accusation of McManus that he is often too soft. So maybe it's a good game for McManus to miss. Although I would say that most games would be, to be fair.
I agree. I think McManus has been very, very soft in the air at times as well this year, so it'll be interesting to see what the two younger boys can do.
The Welsh Society held a Q&A last night to meet the Welsh Society board and also to meet the manager. We've got cards on the table. The podcast guys didn't go because we didn't think we would win the raffle, so been kind of reading on with interest in the reports from Steelmen Online. I don't know whether the Society had said that they were going to release a kind of breakdown of the questions and the main points from the night. Has that actually been released as yet?
As far as I'm aware, it's not been. I think it's going to be later in the week. You know, as you said, none of us managed to make it last night. But, you know, I've been reading through the thread in Steelmen Online, at least from those there. And, you know, a lot of, I suppose a lot of it kind of, isn't really a surprise. You know, there's those who are sort of saying that it was a mixed bag, and there's others who are saying that it was, you know, anything from being quite awkward and folk not knowing answers to questions to it being a shambles. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what the kind of official line is, because it's, you know, I suppose if people go in with, you know, preconceived ideas and perceptions of what it's going to be like, then they'll probably still come away with those ideas. I've got no doubt, you know, I've been critical of the Welsh society. I think it has been a shambles, and I've no doubt if I went to the question and answer session, I probably would have picked up on things that they didn't answer correctly or information that was lacking, and then I would probably came away saying, oh, that was a bit poor, or it wasn't good enough. Whereas if somebody goes and they're really for it and excited about it, then they'll probably pick up on the positives that are there. So, you know, I'm not reading too much into the posts that are up on Steelmen Online, at least. A lot of it's not surprising, as I've said, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, what the kind of the reports say of the night, because there's got to have been, hopefully, some of the questions will have been, you know, quite hard-hitting and you know, the kind of questions that need answering, because that thread in particular, where they're all talking about it on the Steelmen or not thread, it's just, you know, page after people, you know, just in utter confusion or just not having a clue what's going on with the society. So hopefully there will be some answers.
I must admit that we were talking on Sunday night, and my question, or the point that's confusing me just now, is a lot of people are signing up in the last couple of weeks to the society, and I'm kind of wondering what their reasons are for doing so, because for me there's been nothing done in the last couple of weeks that's been any different from what they've been doing since day one, which hasn't been a great deal, it must be said. But I'd be kind of interested to anyone that listens to get in contact and say, or give the reasons why they've signed up to the society recently. I don't know whether it perhaps is the pressure put on from articles in the newspapers and interviews with Les Hutchison and Brian McCafferty, or whether they have been swayed by the event that was put on last night. I've noticed a lot of social media retweets saying that people are signing up, and I do a wee bit of head scratching when I see it, because I can't think of many reasons for signing up for the society just now, which is going to make me look pretty stupid in a couple of weeks, it must be said, when it comes to the time that promotional video is released, and I'm saying that I believe that the society can work. I still do believe the Welsh society can work, but it has to be worked in a manner where everyone's completely behind the ideas, there's a clear vision, a clear aim, the goalposts aren't moved regularly. For me, it's hard to see the Welsh society succeeding in its current form, but that's not to say that I hope it doesn't succeed. It's a bit of a confusing one, and I must admit, I'm sitting here just now thinking it is going to look quite daft that it's myself that's on that video, given that I've been fairly harsh on the society. Not as harsh as you, Jay, it must be said, so... Saying that, that's you first.
I think it's got to be maybe something to do with the, you know, the payments and how they're, you know, making them even cheaper. I believe you can sign up for a fiver now. So I think it's got to be something like that as well, you know, maybe just the affordability of it all. You know, like yourselves, I wouldn't even say I've been critical. I've just been maybe a bit glass half full of the society, probably up until recently, whereas I'm falling out with it just because I don't hear or see much. But as you say, like yourself, Sparta, it's not something that I want to see, you know, fall away and become nothing. It's something obviously we'd all like to see succeed, you know, and it's in a correct manner. So it's kind of strange. I just can't see it happening, though, to be honest with you.
Too many organisations such as the World Trust, Steelmen Forever and things like that have all fallen by the wayside, and it'd be a shame. This one certainly stirred more emotion and provoked more of a reaction from the supporters than any of the ones that I mentioned there, but yeah. Still, ultimately, it looks like it's going to fail as well, so...
Well, for me, I think it failed the minute that we kind of got into, again, I've said it before, the idea of the justification being, you know, crazy South Americans. I think the minute that you kind of accept that that is now your justification for it is the minute you kind of accept that you've lost the battle, because the whole point is that it's supposed to be exciting, it's supposed to be engaging, and it was to begin with. Now it's just so bland and so kind of mediocre, and, you know, it's just such a farce that you get into that kind of scaremongering tactic. You get into that idea of, right, you need to join the Welsh Society, otherwise we'll either get into admin or some crazy South Americans will take over. And that's all you kind of really hear now. I mean, apart from a couple of news stories at the time of Les Hutchison, and I don't know how much truth there was in it, you know, there wasn't this great, as far as I was aware, you know, a great conspiracy for these South Americans to come over and take over Motherwell. It seemed to be like a flash in the pan, like, you know, mentioned in the news over a couple of days. But suddenly now that is the justification for joining the Welsh Society. And as soon as that is your tagline and that is your marketing ploy, then you've lost, because you're basically admitting that you can't generate the excitement, you can't generate the engagement that was there originally. And so you're just trying to generate fear and concern. And that's the problem. You know, it's this idea of build it and they will come. That has been the mentality from the start. And although we continually heard, you know, that once Les had bought over, you know, and then they brought in a paid employee, there was going to be, you know, new marketing measures and X, Y, and Z, I still see very, you know, very little of them. And as a member, I occasionally get an email that is the worst constructed email in the world that might have about a paragraph and then just has, like, you know, like it's like the disclaimer thing at the bottom about 40 times, and then they'll send another email because there was a typo in the original email, and then I'll not hear from them again for another couple of weeks. It's just that mentality of, we don't really need to do much, or we don't, maybe they are doing much, but they're not doing anything that anybody sees or hears about, but they think folk will just join up anyway, because they're Motherwell fans. And then if they don't, we'll just scare them into it by talking about South Americans. It's just not working for me. The minute that they started, you know, going from the engagement and the exciting message, once they accepted they'd lost that and they'd been so poor at what they were doing that they had managed to turn the idea into something boring and something, you know, that people are indifferent to, and just started going down the fear route, that was the minute that they accepted that they'd lost it.
Interesting that the owner wasn't there on Monday night. I know that he's not based in Scotland, but you'd have thought that if you were organising an event, which the society part, obviously a large part of that is that they have a massive loan taken out from Les. He mentions it now and again. Would it have made it clearer if he was there to explain the situation or where they were at?
Well, having not been there, I can't comment, but I think, you know, if you're going to have an evening where half of it is going to be Mark McGee answering questions and half of it is going to be questions in the Welsh Society, I think you need to, you know, take time constraints into mind, and you don't really have the time for like an hour of Les Hutchison rattling through his list of money that he's put in. So it's probably quite good he wasn't there and actually allowed folk from the Welsh Society to answer questions.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's something which, although it was the Welsh Society and the new manager, I don't think it was really sort of Les's bag, to be fair. I don't think, you know, it was in anything to do with him, so to speak. Just to pull it back a bit, and all we're saying that we don't think the Welsh Society is going to succeed, or, you know, it doesn't look like it, but one or two of the things I read this morning were suggesting that last night they were talking about how they were kind of close to meeting all the sort of criteria for the takeover of the club, and then they were just waiting on effectively the loans being repaid, which... Oh, you go, sorry.
Oh no, I was just going to say, like, I think that, you know, it's hard. I find it hard now to kind of, you know, it seems as though goalposts seem to get moved quite a lot, you know, the closer we get. So, you know, whereas a couple of weeks ago we might have been miles away from the target, now we're close to the target. It might not be that we've actually got any closer to the original target. It might just be the target itself has changed.
True. There was chat of how many members there is, how many members there is needed, and then there. Apparently, when they were questioned, the Welsh Society were questioned about, you know, what actually makes the active members that are needed. They sort of about the answers.
I think that's a key, isn't it? The active members rather than members, because they'll have a lot of members there that paid in initially that are are almost regarded as lapsed members because they haven't paid any top-up fees or they've not kind of reconfirmed their membership. So they, for all, they've put money in initially, and obviously that's a big thing, but you're not going to get any more money out of these guys unless they sign up again or renew their membership. So I don't know. I think they're aiming for 2,000 active members, which I'd be interested to see what the figures are of active members as opposed to lapsed members that are now disengaged and refusing to put more money in, because I know of quite a lot of people that signed up initially and now don't really want anything to do with it.
I think the active members, I know you said that you think it's 2,000 they're looking for, but again, I maybe read it wrong. I was in work, supposed to be working, so I was sort of quite reading it, but I thought I read that it was 1,000 active members. Again, as I say, this is me just taking it second hand information, obviously through the internet, but that's what I thought I read.
But it's always been 2,000. I'm
pretty
sure I'm right in saying that
was exactly what the discussion was about. They were saying, again, this is guys on Steelman Online, somebody was saying, I've always heard 2,000, 2,000, 2,000, 2,000, and then when it came to it yesterday, the numbers seemed to have changed for some reason. And again, sorry, this is me just trying to read through this while I'm not supposed to be working. So, but that's what I thought I read when I was reading Steelman Online this morning. And again, that's what the conversation was all about, the confusion about what is an active member and how many are actually needed.
I don't put too much comment on a question and answer night that we weren't at. But, you know, for one thing that kind of bothers me, or not bothers me, but just frustrates me a little, is one of the problems I've had for quite a while with the Welsh Society, and I've emailed and actually had discussions with folk about it, is the kind of narrow-minded approach to the board itself, the idea that you need to be of a certain ilk or maybe not need to be, but it's kind of set up in such a way that the only people who are really going to put themselves forward are all of a similar kind of age and mentality and that kind of idea. And then the only people who are going to then get onto the board are all the same. You know, you had a situation where they're now looking for a new board member. There was one email that said, if you're interested, apply. I'm pretty sure it didn't have any links to applications or anything like that. But it just said, if you're interested, apply. Didn't hear anything else about it. And now we've been sent out, you know, stuff about the three folk. In that original email that said, if you're interested, then apply, it said that you should have, you know, some sort of experience in marketing or advertising. So you're taking what is already quite a small group of Motherwell fans who would be perhaps interested in getting involved in the society board, and then making it even smaller by, you know, putting these, you know, or you need marketing, you know, putting that a sort of category and requirements on it, and you're kind of depleting it so much that you're only going to get the same people. We've got to a point now where, as far as I'm aware, most of the people who have been involved in the society board have, you know, that kind of criteria, have experience in marketing or advertising, and it has absolutely got them nowhere. For me, there should be, I know they're obsessed with the Hearts one. I know that the Foundation of Hearts, whatever it's called, I know they're obsessed with it and they want to copy it and do everything they do. But for me, see, I think you would get far more interest and far more engagement. Okay, it might not get you over the line, but by making an active effort to get a board that actually represents your fan base. Now, I would like to see, in an ideal world, I would like to see the Welsh Society board put their hands up, say, right, by anybody's definition, we have failed. We have made a mess of it. We've made such a mess of it that we need, you know, Barbados Superman to fly in and save us before the whole thing fell to pieces. So what we're going to do is we're going to use the, you know, we're going to resign in 6 months or 12 months or whatever, and we're going to use that time to encourage as many people as possible to get interested in actually putting themselves forward and actually have categories. You know, say, right, we want someone in the board between the age of, you know, whatever, 16 and 21. We want somebody in the board who's a parent and takes their kids to the game. We want somebody in the board who's, you know, an elderly member of the support who sits in the main stand, and actually have, you know, a board that represents your fans rather than these folk that, you know, let's be honest, they're all kind of the same. And, you know, I don't mean that in a disparaging way, but it is that kind of, it's got to that kind of stage where it's all a very similar type of person that goes to the EGMs, it's all a very similar type of person that votes, and it's all a very similar type of person that ends up in the board. And I know I'll probably get a few pelters for that because it sounds as though I'm kind of pigeonholing people, because I am, but it is that kind of idea, you know, I mean, it's that sort of middle age kind of business experience, you know, being in the world of work with advertising and marketing for so long, and it's got them absolutely nowhere. I would be far more inclined. I mean, you're talking, Sparta, about folk who put their money in at the start and are no longer interested anymore. That's me. I put my £300 in at the start and they've not had a penny since, and they probably won't get a penny again because they don't have my confidence in the slightest. But if I was looking at the board and it was, you know, a member of the Well Boys was on the board, and then there was a, you know, a single parent who takes their three kids to the game and sits in the Cooper on the board, and then, you know, and it actually represented the fans, then I'd be far more likely to put my money in because I would feel represented. At the moment, fan ownership has basically taken one group of a certain, you know, a certain type of person, you know, business kind of people or people in marketing or professionals, you know, we've taken them, we've replaced them with other ones. And that's the issue. You know, there's no imagination there. There's no creativity. It's not capturing MD's imagination. And, you know, that's like something I would like to see. You know, put the club first, put the society first, instead of kind of clinging on to the power and the club tie.
The thing is, it's not particularly interactive either, is it? I just think to even someone like Bukes, who runs a forum and everything else, surely you would think it would be better to reach out to people like that and get their expertise on being able to promote it and have threads regularly where board members can go on and update the supporters or answer questions, rather than the society Twitter page for the last week have put out the same tweet 6 and 7 times a day, and it's almost as if someone's levelled the accusation, you guys aren't enough of a presence, you aren't doing enough. Also, what we'll do is we've got A, B and C, and what we'll do is we'll remind people about these three things 10 times a day, and all it becomes is spam. You just want to actually stop following them and get rid of them because they're a pain in the arse. They've not got anything new to report. So I think just talking for talking's sake's a bit of a waste of time, but I had seen that they were going to record last night's Q&A and have it up online, but given that they've been very quick to say that they were going to do a summary in written forum, I guess that's another thing that's fallen by the wayside, or who knows, maybe that's why we were contacted last night through a few people asking if we were recording it. Maybe they expected us just to turn up with recording devices, I don't know. But it's a strange one, and it just kind of... I had no enthusiasm to go last night, I must confess, but it would be nice to see what went on, or there must be people that live abroad or couldn't have got to Fir Park on a Monday night. We've been reminded of how difficult it was to get to the Electric Barn a Wednesday night because of the difficulties of a midweek event. There would have been people that would have missed last night for similar reasons. So keeping the members updated on what's going on when you have been asked a few difficult questions is a good thing. But instead, they've allowed a day to pass where there's speculation on online forums and things like that. And I just think that's pretty careless when you've got a board of people there that, as you say, are meant to be experts and are meant to be well-versed, certainly, in PR, marketing and advertising. For people that are so well-versed in these fields, they're not doing a very good job of advertising their own organisation, that's for sure.
I would have liked to have went along last night. Mainly, to be honest with you, to hear the McGee part. Again, a few things I read about McGee seemed pretty positive. You know, he seemed to answer a few difficult questions and, you know, challenge any sort of comeback to the questions for what I read and for what I was told. But as you say, I never really seen much in the way of, I don't want to say promotion, because you did see the same thing, as you say, as, you know, thrown in your face through the social media, but it never really changed, as you say, and that was sort of. I don't want to be negative about it because I feel that's all we really do. But I would like to hope they either, you know, had a bit of a problem. Not hope they had a problem, sorry. But you know what I'm getting at? There's no bit of recording out, or they're not putting a recording out because there's maybe a technical issue. But it'd be good if they maybe had even some sort of minutes or something typed up and they released that. So I'd like to see something like that. So hopefully that, you know, they're working on something like that.
I don't think it's been negative for negative sake, though, Buster. I certainly just do believe that if they were doing something that I believed in or thought was positive, then I would mention it was positive. But
I appreciate that.
It's just nothing there.
I understand. Yeah.
And I think
I do understand what you're saying. I don't think it's... Again, I'm not safe. I don't think it's no fair, but... You know, we have our gripes, and there's never really anybody putting across the positive side yet. So,
I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, we had Peter Elder on last week, who was very positive about it. There's folk, we've had Brian on, we've had Les on. I don't think I agree with that. I think
I'm not suggesting that there isn't anybody other who is positive about it. I'm just saying that, you know, when it comes to it, there's the three of us who are not very positive about it. And that kind of happens on a fairly regular basis, and it's just something which even talking about it gets me doing even more about it. Basically, it's just one of those things. I would still like to hear them come on and be a bit more positive about it.
But we could put an open invite out. You know, anybody who's listening who is
definitely
got a semi for the society, they can come on and get us all positive about it.
You don't even have to have a semi. So the T and C's read, you don't need a semi. Well, you need to reiterate that, okay? Right, so after saying that it was just going to be a short 20-minute effort, we're ticking along to 35 minutes and we've still not done this week's Remember Well. I'm away to put my feet up. Over to you, Jay.
Ian Vigors scoring an absolute screamer, obviously. So it was basically just looking for, you know, memorable goals from ex-players. Doesn't need to be the goal itself, could be the reason behind it. Put it up on both Facebook and Twitter as usual. David Fraser says, Paul Lambert scoring for Celtic and jumping into the unwashed hordes in the Cooper Stand was hard to take on a couple of levels. Ian Steelman online, Buchanan, says, Stevie Kirk's goal for Falkirk after we'd sold Mowgli and him to Falkirk for Eddie May. Ori also says the only goal by an opponent I've grudgingly applauded at Fir Park. I've got to admit, I may have applauded the Ian Vigors strike against Cali. That's me saying that, not Bukes.
Can't remember.
Hospitality, innit? Robert Hughes says, always remember that donkey Derek Townsley coming back to score against us with Hibs and Eric Delamo. Hilarious spelling of Delamo, but Eric Delamo with Aberdeen from about 40 yards out. On the Twitter, David Innes, Derek Townsley scoring against us for Hibs and doing a get it up you the full length of the East, had to laugh. Jerry McDermott, you know, basically just agrees with that, says he was going to tweet the exact same thing. Scott McIntyre, Higginbottom scoring two against us and rubbing it in, then us scoring twice in the last 5 minutes to get it up him. Jack Jarvis Esquire says Deke Townsley, main stand and centre of the East were all utter to him. I don't know if we're allowed to say the C word on this podcast. Deserved his retribution. Joe McKelvey, a bit before my time, but club legend John Gagan's goal, meaning we needed penalties versus Morton in 1991. Darren Woods, another one who goes for Eric Delamo and he's 40-yarder for Aberdeen. And Mitch says Townsley for Hibs against us at Fir Park. The foaming at the mouth of the East Stand punters was hilarious. I've got to be honest, personally, I agree with that one. That was the first one that jumped to mind. I think you can say that we're not particularly happy clappy on here. But one of the things that has always got my back up is some of the absolute weapons in the Motherwell support who seem to get a genuine kick out of abusing their own players. And the abuse Derek Townsley got, just for not being that good at football, let's be honest, was unbelievable. I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying that his wife and kid were both essentially barred by him from coming to Fir Park because the abuse was that bad. And when he scored that, you know, the goal against his Hibs and sprinted down the holy stand, although I would never be happy about an opposition team scoring against us, I must admit, it was hard not to think, you know, well played, fair enough. But I don't know if you guys have got any different ones. Those were the ones that seemed, you know, quite prominent.
The only one that I can think of that hasn't really been mentioned is Scott McDonald running the entire length of the East Stand kissing the Celtic match.
Well, that's a good show, actually, eh?
That one.
That's a relevant one.
Every time there's somebody who comes up against us that's played for us, you know, you always get the cliche part of, oh, he's due a goal of the day and stuff like that. And So even there's probably been hundreds of them, but other than the ones I've mentioned in the Scott McDonald one, I can't really think anymore.
There was a recent one. Well, I say recent. The former version of Rangers winning 2-1 at Fir Park, and Lee McCulloch scored late on. I think it was nearly an injury time, so Rangers won 2-1. Then obviously retribution was gained in May when someone scalped him with a flag. So,
well, you also just say, obviously, you know, Remember Well's at Remember Well on the Twitter. So, you know, folk are listening going forward. And while we're on the subject of worthwhile projects, I had the pleasure of bumping into a guy on Friday that I just want to give a shout out to. Had the pleasure of meeting him at the Animar group at Bells Hill and Moss End YMCA. That's a group that deals with young people with support needs. They do a great job. His name's Paul, and he's a big fan of the podcast, which is good to hear. So I shout out for him and the Animar group.
There you go. And you thought Les Hutchison had an ego. Jay actually just did a shout out to someone in the podcast.
Brilliant.
Right, on that note, if you want your birthday read out,
I will. We'll put a cost on it, a pound a shout.
Aye, and you don't have to have a semi. Guys, thanks very much. We'll be back at some point when we've sobered up after the trip north at the weekend.
That could take quite some time.
Yeah, I can't wait, to be honest with you. I mean, there's football on as well, which could be a bit of a downer, but here we go.
Oh, well, if it's anything like the last game against Highland opposition, it should be quite good fun at least, but not very good for the liver, it would be. You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back sometime next week, hopefully next Monday. Until then, thanks for listening and goodbye.
In the absence of your love, and in the absence of human touch, I have decided. Of your smiling face, I travel all